few moments. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we turn the spotlight of the Lux Radio Theater on the first great director of motion pictures, the man who changed motion pictures from a novelty to an art. He is the only director of his day who never used a megaphone. Pioneer and prophet, trailblazer and teacher, the greatest genius of his art, D.W. Griffith.
Say, DeMille, C.P., you know that is awfully generous. But there was a reason why I seldom use megaphones. Now, let me explain. You know that during the war between the states, my father, he was a commander of the 1st Kentucky Cavalry. They say he could be heard yelling above the sounds of battle. They call him Roaring Jake Griffith. Well, I didn't inherit his brains, I'm sorry to say. But perhaps I got some of his loud voice.
Our battle of pictures was almost a war in itself.
Well, we were fighting each other, C.B. But for the same cause, I think we did it. Help establish the motion picture business, didn't we?
Yeah, you must have had some of Roaring Jake's strategy. I'll never forget your picture, The Battle of Elderberry Gulch. It was only a two-reeler, but it was one of the first pictures to bear the mark of genius.
Oh, thank you. Well, you met that attack easily enough at the first full-length one, The Squaw Man.
Then you got out the heavy artillery with The Birth of a Nation. That was the biggest gun of the whole war.
Oh, well to say. You know, I sort of remember a picture called The Ten Commandments that you made while we were throwing this stuff at each other.
Yeah, while we were matching each other star for star and reel for reel, something happened. In reaching out for new weapons, you created the fade-out and the close-up.
Yes, you know, people thought I'd gone crazy. I think they were about right, too. They said, what's the idea of showing people without bodies? What are they doing, swimming? Then, just as I was filming people so the audience could get a good look at their faces... Oh, we had some beautiful in those days, too, didn't we? Now, you came along with that Rembrandt lighting.
And a headache. We'd light the face as Rembrandt did in his paintings. Often one side of the face was in darkness. One of our executives called me up in a rage. If you're only going to show half the face, he said, people will only want to pay half the price. I told him, if you haven't got sense enough to know Rembrandt lighting when you see it, it's not my fault. Oh, he replied, is that what it is, Rembrandt lighting? Oh, they'll pay double for that. And they did.
Well, that's a good way to get the coin in. Said, you know, C.B., there's one thing I'm getting a little tired of. You know, a lot of people are always congratulating me on some of your productions. Well, that I don't care for it. Especially the King of Kings. You know, at first I'd answer and say, well, that's not my picture, that King of Kings. That's DeMille's. But finally I got tired of denying it, so I just said, now, yeah, oh, yeah. Sure, that was a great picture. Well, at my best, you know, I worked like a dog on that King of Kings. Say, you've had some great productions on the screen, C.B., I don't need to tell you that. And you're doing a fine job here with this radio theater. Say, what about that new picture of yours, The Plainsman? So many people still get us confused, I'll hope you'll make it good, good and good, or I'll be disgraced. Good night. Good night. Good luck.
Anytime they credit me with one of your pictures, D.W., I'm satisfied.